This is Drive Live with Tim Elliott and Alex Hershey
on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Simon Marks, I believe an hour and a quarter's sleep, was it even that much overnight?
About 75 minutes so far since I last spoke to you, with no indication of very much more coming anytime soon. But it was quite a night to be awake and alive in Washington, D.C., and it is quite a morning after the night before here, Tim.
I can well imagine. Look, I had a text from a friend of mine earlier as we were learning the news, and she said, I've actually started to cry. Obviously not a Trump fan, but just your initial thoughts, reaction, Simon.
Well, look, I mean, this is a presidential candidate, now a president-elect, who has completely, totally, and utterly torn up the rule book of American politics, made it absolutely apparent to anybody paying any attention that the conventional wisdom in Washington, D.C. is worth less than swampland in Florida, and that the predictions of pundits and analysts and reporters like yours truly often don't amount to a row of beans. From the moment he got into this presidential race, he confounded everybody who thought that American politics was governed by some kind of playbook, and he continued confounding everybody until the very moment when he claimed victory last night after receiving that phone call from Hillary Clinton. This is a stunning political achievement by a political neophyte. This is someone who got into the race, I think, because he suspected before anybody else and realized before anybody else that the American public was ready for their political and electoral process to be turned into the equivalent of a reality TV show. And then, once he'd won the Republican Party's nomination, he surrounded himself with people from the right-wing fringes of the internet, who on the one hand influenced his thinking in terms of some of the more extreme things that he was saying, some of the more violent and bigoted language that he was using on the campaign trail, but on the other hand also saw a clear path to victory for him by embracing the plight of those working-class and middle-class Americans who feel that their opportunities have been lost, their jobs have been squandered, that the country's future has been exported overseas, and who in many cases are also viscerally attracted by Donald Trump's very tough stance on immigration, the plan to build the wall, the plan to close the country's borders. And he put together the mosaic that allowed him last night to receive that telephone call from Hillary Clinton. I mean, make no mistake, Tim, the outcome of this race has shocked Hillary Clinton and Democrats to the marrow. They were always confounded by the fact that this was even close. They never thought this was going to be a close race. From the moment Hillary Clinton got into it, the people around her were absolutely convinced she would be America's next president. She literally didn't know what to say last night, so she didn't show up at the Javits Center to address her supporters beneath that glass ceiling. You know that her campaign slogan was, I'm with her. But it became pretty apparent that last night, at least at the Javits Center, she wasn't with them. We are supposed to be hearing from her in New York within the next, I think roughly the next hour. She's just delayed an appearance by another hour. It's going to be very interesting to see to what she ascribes her failure. But also, if this is a disaster for Hillary Clinton, it is an absolute catastrophe for President Barack Obama, who went out on a limb with Michelle Obama to try and drag Hillary Clinton over the finishing line, and now, tomorrow, here in Washington, D.C., has to meet Donald Trump and start planning the transition, a transition to a new president who is determined to eradicate the most important pillars of President Obama's legacy as he, President Obama, sees them. So we are absolutely sailing into uncharted political waters here. And remember, Donald Trump, president-elect, the next Republican president of the United States, will be working with Republican majorities in both the Senate and the House of Representatives. This is going to be a wild ride for America.
Simon, when you mentioned that they're going to have to meet face-to-face, Trump, Donald Trump and Barack Obama, to work out the next few months before he is actually placed in the White House, that is going to be super awkward. As you said, Barack Obama has been very outspoken with his support for Hillary Clinton. What happens now? Will he have to come out and say publicly that he now supports Donald Trump? How does this work?
Well, he won't in any way pledge political support for Donald Trump because, I mean, he'd become the laughingstock immediately if he did. But the awkwardness is going to be apparent, I think, within a few hours because President Obama, we're told, is at some point today going to make a statement. He has telephoned Donald Trump. He has telephoned Hillary Clinton. And in that phone call congratulating Donald Trump on winning the presidency, he invited him to come to the White House for talks tomorrow. We assume that those are going to take place because, you know, the transition from one administration to another, the smooth transfer of power, is a complicated process and has to be very carefully planned out. And it's not apparent at all to what extent the Trump people are prepared for it because, you know, if you saw the pictures of Donald Trump voting yesterday, being barracked by protesters at that New York City polling station, he didn't look like a man who was especially preparing for government or even thinking that he had a snowball's chance of winning this election. So I suspect that they are as surprised as anyone else. However, you know, Donald Trump and Barack Obama, in a very practical way, are going to have to find a method of working with one another because the inauguration is towards the end of January. I mean, imagine the scene. Donald Trump and Melania Trump walking up the steps of the White House, greeting Barack Obama and Michelle Obama and getting into a limousine together to head to Capitol Hill for Donald Trump's swearing in. We are only at the beginning of a process that is going to be, for many weeks now, unbelievably awkward.
A lot of us can't even picture what that's going to be what that's going to look like. Simon, do you know what I really want to know? To get down to the bottom of it here, how much is really going to change now that Donald Trump will be president? How much has just been talk about the wall, for example, and how much will actually happen, do you think?
Well, I mean, I think that's a really vital and valid question, Alex. I mean, first of all, on the face of it, Donald Trump can do pretty much whatever he wants. He's going to be the Republican president with those Republican majorities up in the Senate and the House of Representatives. And yet he has had a tortuous relationship with the Republican Party up on Capitol Hill. What is the dynamic of the relationship going to be, for example, between President Donald Trump and the Speaker of the House of Representatives, Paul Ryan, a man who a few weeks ago said that he could no longer defend Donald Trump's comments nor campaign for him in the presidential election? So there are all sorts of complexities that Donald Trump has to iron out with members of his own party. And then there's the even bigger question. You know, he has run for office on a slogan: we're going to make America great again. What exactly does that mean? There are 50 million voters out there who got behind Donald Trump yesterday. And it's just worth briefly making the point that Hillary Clinton won the popular vote. She did win 128,000 more votes than Donald Trump, but she's lost it in the Electoral College. But there are 50 million people out there who voted for Donald Trump, and a large number of them presumably voted for him because they think that he is going to make their lives better, that he was serious when he said he was going to stop exporting jobs, that he was going to rip up free trade agreements, that he was going to close America's borders, that he was going to force America's treaty allies to pay their fair share, or else the United States would not come to their assistance if they got into difficulty. How much of that is he actually able to realize? And in concrete and very practical economic terms, what does it mean if you're an out-of-work steel worker in Ohio who voted for Donald Trump because he says he's going to make your life better again? How is Donald Trump going to do that? He made more large promises in his victory speech last night and urged Americans to unite around his candidacy. It is very difficult to see how that is going to be brought about, especially given the fact that large numbers of Hillary Clinton's core supporters, you know, for them, this is the nightmare scenario. They no more want to find some kind of workable scenario where they can all get along with Donald Trump than Donald Trump's core supporters would have been willing to abandon their calls for Hillary Clinton to be locked up and jailed. This has been such a raw election campaign, and now it falls to Donald Trump, let's be honest, not a master of subtlety, to try and find a way of threading the needle, putting the pieces back together again, and putting the genie back into the bottle, if I can torture several metaphors at once. This is going to be very tough stuff.
Torture all the metaphors that you like. Tomorrow's headline in the New York Post, Simon, is they said it couldn't happen. I know you're a voracious consumer of media. Do you ever read the Buchan Observer?
I have to say I have not glanced at it recently, Tim.
Well, I think you're going to like the headline tomorrow morning. It's a Scottish newspaper, and the headline's going to be Aberdeenshire business owner wins presidential election. Which is...
As a great and now late lamented politician here in the United States, Tip O'Neill, the former Speaker of the House of Representatives, used to say, all politics is local.
Ain't that the truth? Simon Marks in Washington. Do appreciate you coming on the last 3 days, Simon. Get some sleep when you can.
Thanks, guys. I will. Take care.
Just after 6:30.